Yes, hello folks, welcome to a weekly Manchester United podcast special episode on this Friday, and I am joined by a gentleman I've wanted to have on this podcast for a long time. Paul, you can find Paul at, what's your Twitter at, F-R-O-T-H-O-Z,
Ozea? Yep, the old, said, yeah, it's the old gamer tag that stuck as a tag.
And Paul, we've been talking for a while, obviously, privately and what have you. We're obviously primarily going to cover the takeover and what has been going on this week, we'll talk about a few things. You know, obviously with Mike Keegan's piece coming out the other day about Jim Ratcliffe's bid, I want to get in underneath that and discuss why Jim made that bid, why it looks that way, possible permutations, and throw a few things at you. So, and of course, you're here to explain some of the financial jargon and make it make sense to me and everyone else. So first of all, thanks for coming on the podcast for the very first time.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
Okay, mate. First of all, let's look at what came out this week with Jim Ratcliffe first, because I was in the gym on Thursday. I was freewheeling on the exercise bike, obviously. The headline was a bit misleading in the sense that it was really about Jim taking 51%, Glazers with Hope being a minority shareholder. Obviously, initially, what your my visceral reaction is, the Glazers are continuing to profit off Manchester United. They continue to be on the board. They'll continue to influence how Manchester United are run. They'll still profit, and that's something that's anathema to most Manchester United fans, me included. Being an absolutist, I want them gone, but there's certain pragmatic aspects of this where if you'd offered me this a year ago, we'd have taken it. I'm going to throw a few things at you once we get into this, because there's obviously a strategy behind why Jim did this. So explain exactly what that ownership would look like.
So it depends on what way the ownership model he's looking to go at. But if we know anything about Sir Jim, he's not going to take a back seat in a company. So you could surmise the easiest way he would do it would be he would take 51% of the company in total. That would give him the majority shareholder. But he would need to bring Joel and Avram both below 10%, because if they're above the 10%, their B shares are still active. But if he drops them below the 10%, then the B shares are under the laws of the court. And when they incorporated the company and issued the shares, as soon as every Glazer is below that 10% mark, all their shares get turned into A shares. So effectively, that gives Sir Jim full control over the company, full say in who's on the board of directors, managers, footballing decisions, everything to do with Manchester United. It basically puts the Glazers into a position of no say, and they're just like any other investor on the open market. Now, the way he can sweeten the deal to get them to agree to that is he could say, eventually down the line, I'm going to buy you out of these shares. I will pay you a premium on top of what the shares are actually traded at that certain time. So the Glazers don't have to go off the value of what the open market says. They get a premium on top of it as well. But that would probably be the most likely way that they'll do that type of deal. I don't see, as some people said, they would keep 20% or they'll restructure the deal. There's no point of doing the restructure of the deal. They have the mechanism there to do it anyway, which is drop them below 10%.
But how do they get them below 10% when they would still retain 23%? I mean, their ownership amounts to about 23% when you take away what the siblings owe. And we talked about this before. So they would still own 23%. And obviously, United fans have a lot of questions about what their presence would be if they remained. So why would Jim Ratcliffe want to do that and not put them below the 10% threshold where they would have no influence on shaping the club's business, how they're run as a business, how they're shaping its culture and having decisions, making decisions about the football club that United fans don't want to make. And so why would Jim Ratcliffe want to do that?
Well, it's basically, he's doing this, and I said this weeks ago when I thought of the, basically talking to other people, we came up with how could Jim Ratcliffe beat the Qatari bid, and Jim Ratcliffe will have to do what he always does, which is make compromises. So effectively what he's doing, he's not actually putting this bid on the table. What he's doing is he's putting his valuation of the company and saying, if you don't want to sell me the full 69%, I'll buy 51% of the company and bring everybody. But the caveat to it has to be that none of the Glazers have B shares left over. So it basically means twofold things. One, Sir Jim doesn't have to spend as much money up front, because argument's sake, say his bid is 5 billion, he automatically takes 18% of that away, because that would, the 18% will be going to Joel and Avram. So it gives him more playroom with more money to invest into the club straight off, because he's already factored in and spending 5 billion up front, if that is his bid. So it gives him a little bit more playroom with money to invest into the club. And also what everybody has been saying in the media and in any circles is the whole stopping point of United being sold is Joel and Avram still want to be somehow associated with the club. So giving them, keeping them a percentage, that percentage is like an investment to them. If they believe United is going to be valued at 10 billion plus in the next 10 years, it means that 18% in 10 years' time is going to be worth a lot more than it is now under the current Glazership ownership.
So let's say, hypothetically, that the Qataris have said to United that they're willing to go to a price point, we said to the Glazers, they're willing to go to a price point that nobody else will.
Mm-hmm.
Say 7 billion, hypothetically speaking.
Are we talking dollars now or pounds?
You know, I never asked that question, but
I would say dollars to be safe.
Okay, I'd say dollars, right. Let's say they're going to go to $7 billion, right? This would be a way for Jim Ratcliffe to lower the acquisition costs of United, to take mm-hmm. control of the football club. And let's say, hypothetically, he had a plan, knowing that there was going to be a fan backlash, with them still involved, to buy them out within 5 to 10 years. Would that make sense as to why Jim has put that bid together in the form that he has?
The 5 to 10 years thing, it's a bit weird with the 5 to 10 years. You would almost have to get the Glazers to agree to convert their B shares to A shares for that to plan out. So if you wanted Joel and Avram to keep 20% of the company or 20% plus of the company, you'd have to make an agreement for them to convert all their shares from B shares to A shares. Because unless that's done, there's no way Sir Jim can get control of the company in the first place to make the decisions. Because even at 10%, with one Glazer, he outvotes Sir Jim in the because of the way the B shares work. I think really the only reason Sir Jim has come up with this plan is when I was speaking about this a couple of weeks ago, I said the only way he would ever come out with this deal is, one, he doesn't think the Glazers would sell, or they would go down the route of minority. So obviously if that's the reason, because of Joel and Avram wanting to keep a hold of the club, even no matter how much money Sia Kassim offers, they will not get it. Or two, he believes that a big enough bid is coming in where they'd lose, so he's trying to come up with a compromise to try and see if it can sway in his direction. But a lot of people concentrate on Joel and Avram in this situation, and nobody's talking about the other four Glazers. Because if the Qatari bid, say, is $7 billion, it's about 5.6, 5.7 billion pounds. That's a good 900, 800 million than what Sir Jim has initially offered, if we're to understand his bids. That's a couple of $100 million to each of the siblings that they'd have to turn down in the first place.
Correct.
So I would say it's more of, it's a last chance bid. I want to be the owner of Manchester United. I'm willing to do a compromise. So this is my compromise. I don't know if the compromise is going to work or not, because until we know the figures of the bids, we don't know. But it will all come down to money at the end of the day.
Well, let's say this, I mean, this is Jim Ratcliffe's last play, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get Manchester United to satisfy a couple of things. One, because he's not willing to pay what the Qataris are willing to pay, right? He's not, say, for argument's sake, 7 billion. Now, so this is a way of acquiring control of the football club, because I would assume that those class B shares will convert. Otherwise, what's the point? Because
exactly.
If he doesn't control the football club, there's really no point of him doing anything. And how can you appraise those shares at that price without control of the business, right? Now, if he said at the start of this process, before he submitted his bid, that he would be willing to buy a stake in Manchester United with the view to a full takeover and obviously buying the Glazers out. The only thing that would be acceptable to United fans would be to make sure that he could buy them out within a reasonable time frame, so that he would have full control. So let's say Jim is looking at an alternative bid that's on the table that's above where he's willing to go. Let's say that bid's $7 billion. This is a way for him to gain control of the football club at a lower acquisition cost and then gradually buy out the Glazers. The problem is, if there's a $7 billion bid on the table, or dollar bid on the table from the Qataris, that means the other four shares of the Glazer siblings are now appraised completely different. So what Jim Ratcliffe would have to prorate those shares at to actually tempt the siblings into selling to him rather than the Qataris would be greater than what they were originally appraised at. So it seems to me like we're at the end point where Jim is playing his last card in an attempt to get the club at a lower acquisition cost over the Qataris.
Yeah, that seems, I said weeks ago when I first talked about this, that is the only two times he's ever going to put this deal out, is if, first of all, if they thought the Glazers wouldn't sell, it would be the only way to get him out of the club. I am surprised that he's putting this bid out when the Qataris still have a bid on the table, because I expect that what happened on Wednesday, and I spoke about it, the fan backlash with having the Glazers any way involved with United. Now, I understand the deal doesn't give them any power, any say. Sir Jim's in full control, but people still have that emotional connection of why should we still have the Glazers involved with United when there's another deal to completely wipe them out? It is a last chance. It is a Hail Mary. And at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, can Joel and Avran convince the other siblings if this is the deal they want to go with, because they still have a part of United, to take a lower pay for their shares? Or is the Qatari bid just too much money to pass up? Like, if you take, for instance, Darcy, with the differences in the bids, is probably looking at maybe $200 to $300 million less to take the Sir Jim bid than she is to take the 9-2 Foundation bid.
For those of you in the messages have talked about the tweet, I already have talked about the tweet. I'm sure you're smart enough to read between the lines on what I've actually said. I think what we could safely assume at this point is that any potential minority investment type ownership is completely off the table.
100%. A lot of that minority ownership ended with the Elliott Group. Elliott Group were the main ones that were willing to take the risk of buying out the siblings, giving them a preferred equity loan to Joel and Avram. Basically almost the same setup that they did with AC Milan. And then what happened to the Elliott Group was that investigation was opened up in Italy. So currently they're under a fraud investigation, so they'll never be able to pass the fit and proper test by the Premier League. Because if they buy out the siblings, they technically will own over 25% of the club. So they're technically classed as owners and they have to go through the owners and directors test. And if they have a fraud investigation up against them, that is a new law that came in about a month ago, that anybody that has fraud convictions can't become an owner or director of a football club. So that takes them out of the race. Carlisle Group, yes, they could be still hanging around, but then they're pretty friendly with Qatar. A lot of their dealings and a lot of their investment portfolio, which is over $300 billion, a lot of it involves Qatari investment and Middle Eastern investment. So I don't think, if it was down to them and Qatar, I don't think they would stand in the way. I see any type of minority investment now completely off the table, especially with Sir Jim putting this bid in, because no investor will be able to go as high as Sir Jim to buy the other four siblings out.
And there's another part to this that would obviously be a concern. Manchester United need this to go through quickly. There's an expectation that there's going to be an announcement next week or the week after. on exactly who the preferred bidder is, on who has been successful. And then they go through a process of qualification through Fit and Proper. You look at Newcastle, took almost a year for that to go through. That's something you can't afford to do. I believe that Jim Ratcliffe thinks that they would pass that test a lot quicker than the Qataris. Is there a possibility that that could be held up?
Not in the same way with Newcastle. Newcastle was a completely different problem. The first problem you had with Newcastle was the Saudis were involved in pirating Premier television rights. That was the first problem. The second problem is the Saudis were using a fund that was directly linked to the state and had state governments over the top of it. So they had to wrangle through of who actually was in control of the club, who's going to be making decisions. Is anybody involved in Saudi government going to be on the board of Newcastle United? So that was another problem. They eventually solved that problem with a legal agreement document saying if anybody on the Newcastle United board is found to have any connection as a serving minister or something in Saudi Arabia, the Premier League could take Newcastle away from them, basically. They had a myriad of different problems. It depends how well Sheikh Hasim has set up the 92 Foundation. It depends how well his funding is identified, where the money is coming from. Has anybody got any insert control over that money, or has he got total control of the money and the funds that he's using to buy United? Basically, he has to show that no state can interfere with his bid. If he's done his homework, it could be quick. If not, it could be slow. It's hard to tell because we don't know what documentation he has to prove these things. Sir Jim's inevitably, if he did win his fit and proper test, I don't think would come under any kind of the rules that they have set. I don't think there's anything they need to investigate. The only thing I think with Sir Jim bid would be how he's raising the money, because obviously he doesn't have 6 billion sitting around. So the Premier League will ask of details of any of the loans going to be levied against Manchester United? Is Manchester United going to be required to pay back any money for the capital that you've raised? Are they in risk of falling foul to that debt being called in on them? That stuff will be asked to him. So yet again, it depends on his documentation as well. It could take anywhere from 2 weeks, a month to a year, or it could be very quickly for both. It just depends on how upfront and how transparent both parties are.
So one of the reasons why the Glazers have always wanted to retain control of United is because it pays regional dividends, right? Or pays quarterly dividends, right? Or annual dividends, whatever way they get paid. If they retain, say, a 20% ownership of the football club, I would assume the dividends are off the table.
If Sir Jim has the 51% of the controlling stake and there's no B shares involved and he has total voting power, it's up to a shareholder's vote if dividends are paid out or not. So even if they asked for it and Sir Jim said nope, there's no dividends paid. It's all down to shareholders that vote for dividends in these situations. So if he owns 51% and the Glazers don't have any B shares where they have a higher vote percentage, they can't get paid dividends. You can't take any money out of the club.
So then I'm looking at the Glazers from trying to understand their incentive. If they're going to say, you know what, Jim, we're going to hold 20% of this football club because we think our 20% will appreciate in such value over the course of 5 to 10 years based on the way you're going to run the football club, which is obviously completely contrary to the way they run the football club, right? So they're investing in a much more benevolent method, a business model, that if Jim Ratcliffe is to be held to his word about United, you know, being custodians of the fans and being given back to the local community, why do the Glazers think that the United will appreciate in such value being run that way rather than the way they run it?
Because they can just sit back, not have to take out any loans, not have to take out any deals, and allow Sir Jim to take the loans, take the deals, and build the club up, put the infrastructure system in place, fix the Old Trafford, fix Carrigan, invest into the squad. Basically, it would almost be similar them doing it this way than if they didn't have any shares in United and went and bought 20% of United on the open market. It's them basically doing an investment. But as I said, most likely in that deal, for it to go through, they'd have to Sir Jim would have to give them an incentive. So he would say, I would pay you maybe 5% over market value for them shares eventually down the line, or 10% over market value, or somebody else could come in and buy it. So it's basically, all they're doing is just leaving an investment in. They get a big chunk of money for bringing their share value down that they can do other things with, but they have a secured investment in Manchester United, because unlike the Glazer model, if you go to most big football clubs, money is growing in the Premier League, revenues are growing, and big clubs are taking advantage of that that aren't involved in debt. So inherently, our club, if it's run right, we're winning things, we don't have any debt on our books to settle, our revenues are growing, inherently that money in 10 years' time, that percentage is going to be worth more, and probably more than what they would get paid for it right now.
Let me ask you why you think the Glazers are actually selling. Do you think they're selling because the club is leveraged to the point that it is?
At the point now, they have to put their own hand into their own pocket. That's the problem. They're not able to get in.
Let me just follow up question to that, right? Let's say that is the problem, right? Why wouldn't... I'm sure the Glazers could get a £700 million loan secured against their own assets and do what Abramovich did and loan the money to the club at zero interest, pay off that debt, okay? Retain it to where you are no longer leveraged. And if you think the football club is going to be worth 10 billion in 5 years, surely that's the cheapest way and the most profitable way to give yourself, you know, to remove the suffocation of the assets where it can operate, rather than saying, you know what, we're just going to sell it at a price point, you know, that we think it's really worth a lot more, because it's completely leveraged. Surely they would have the ability to finance against their own assets, remove that debt, because even if they were to take partial ownership and sell a minority stake, they'd have to reinvest that money back in the club. So they can reinvest their own money and not dilute ownership, or they can dilute ownership and then reinvest that money. To me, I surely, if you're a businessman, you look at that and go, I'd rather put my own money in and keep 100% control of the football club than sell it, use somebody else's money and have to dilute my ownership.
Well, the problem you have is the American market at the moment. Glazers don't have cash reserves. They have assets. And raising money against an asset at the moment has very high interest rates attached on top of that. And plus, it would be only Julian Avram that would be willing to raise money against assets that they currently own. People seem to forget Julian Avram are the only ones interested in Manchester United. Darcy Edward and all them other ones aren't. They've never cared about the club. They've never showed up about the club. I think Darcy's been to the club twice in the last 18 years. They rather have money. So any kind of form of trying to raise that finance, you need all the Glazers to help raise that finance, and four of them are unwilling. It's the same way why a minority investment wouldn't work. And a minority investor would come in and say, for instance, I'm buying 20% of Manchester United and I'm going to give you £1 billion to invest into the club. The first question they're going to ask is what you're going to do with that £1 billion. And the first answer back the Glazers are going to go is, well, actually 45% of that money is going to our other siblings because they don't want to invest the money. So they're going to take 45% of that and put it into their own pockets. That's why that type of investment doesn't work. That's why if you've seen all the media reports and the retro change to Joel and Avron are looking for an investor to come in and buy the other Glazer siblings out. They've hit a point where they all need to put their hand into their own pocket. But the way the Glazers have always done things is to raise loans. And right now they already have a massive loan sitting on Manchester United that they have to play yearly. They have a massive transfer deficit of 300 odd million. And they have to pay their credit line back at the end of this season, which is another 200 odd million. So they're up to their eyes in debt, and lending is very, very low at the moment. And if you want to point another point out of why they don't do it that way, you could have got an infrastructure loan for Manchester United 2 or 3 years ago at an interest rate of something like 0.4%. They didn't do it then. Interest rates are near 4.6 now. So if they didn't do it then, why would they do it now? There's no room for extra money lending.
So I would assume that Jim Ratcliffe and the Qataris know that it's checkmate for the Glazers. And they would also know that the potential of minority ownership, which we know they've been trying to do for years, they've been trying to raise money through Sixth Street and everything else for years to try to buy the siblings. So if the Qataris know that Jim Ratcliffe isn't willing to go to a certain price point, is trying to do this at a lower acquisition cost, what would be the incentive of the Qataris to bid massively above him? Because they know at the end of this process, the Glazers have to sell.
The speed of the process would be another reason. If they think that this deal that Sir Jim's putting together will hold any weight, you increase your bid and the other four siblings then apply the pressure. Remember, everybody has to remember, you're talking about two sets in the Glazer family. The two brothers that want to still be a part of United and four siblings that went out. If they agree to a sale, there's arguments that can be made that the Glazers could then bring down of which party they sell to a vote along the shareholders, because there is caveats in the thing that if they want to sell B shares, they all have to agree on it. That was one of the wee bylaws that were put in when they incorporated the company. But it could just be Sheikh Kassim is like, well, if this deal's going to slow the process down by a couple of weeks, I just outbid it and get it over and done with. Because he knows as well as anybody, this needs to be sorted soon. We can't have this rolling into the summer. So investing in an extra couple of hundred million from his investment fund probably is not a lot to him to get it quicker. The man could probably go out and offer a pit £6-7 billion on the table and buy United right now, but he doesn't want to be seen as somebody that's overpaying more than what he has to.
So let's say people say that Joel and Avram want to remain, you know, involved with Manchester United and have a stake. But that 20% is something that's paper money. They're not realizing any cash return on it right now. Something that they could potentially get a return on later with no dividends in a football club they don't control, that's not set up solely for the purpose of their enrichment. Why would they do that?
Well, to even get them down to the 20%, they're going to have to sell a good chunk of their shares anyway, so they'll be getting money out of it. It's a long-term investment, to be totally honest to you. They have to take massive risks to keep control of United. Massive loan risks.
Well, why wouldn't they just sell it all together and take 100% of the profit right now? What would be the incentive? I mean, with Jim Ratcliffe's bid, for them personally, this... it's speculative returns versus guaranteed returns.
It could be a myriad of reasons. They still want to have the United name attached to them. They still feel like they can have input into the club. It could be a myriad of different reasons. They could just be an arrogant ego and just say, look, this is how much we believe that the value of United's going to grow, that we're going to hedge our bets on the money we get out of it. It's... clearly, if they wanted to sell Joel and Avram straight away, and they clearly weren't interested in staying some part of the club, they would have sold it long ago. This process wouldn't have involved any minority bidders or any hems and haw about buying out the other siblings. It would have just have gone to the highest bidder, in a sense. So it depends how much money is too much money to turn down, realistically.
Yeah, I think obviously the most reasonable outcome here is that this is going to get a full sale. And, you know, I mentioned this from the outset. You know, when this process first started happening, there was a lot of information being passed. That started to get muted and gagged a bit, and it became a little bit harder to come out. But I was told in the beginning, and I mentioned this in my podcast, that the Qataris were willing to go to a price point that nobody else were. And I think that will be what will happen. I don't see the Glazers accepting Jim Ratcliffe's offer if the Qataris are willing to go to $7 billion.
It's too much money.
And I think... for Jim Ratcliffe, this is about legacy. He's at a point in his life where, you know, he's already financially comfortable. It's about ego, of course, for both, I would imagine. So, if you look at United's appraised value from Bloomberg at $1.8 billion, you know, $7 billion is truly insane. So, we will see what happens, mate. But. You know, it's one way or another, from what's being said by the people, by people that are connected to this, that there's going to be this is almost over.
Yeah, I think people need to, United fans, you can have your camps that like Sir Jim, you can have your camps that like Sheikh Hasim. Either one of them is going to be better than what ownership we have right now. But I think the main thing is, since that deal came out for Sir Jim, that deal in itself completely wipes out minority investment. I think we're on the line where the club will be sold. To who? It's very hard to tell. You can give an educated guess. But the main thing United fans need to take away is, do what you have to do. Go support the protest that's going on next Sunday. If you can, show up. Support it online. Yes. Apply the pressure. Until we know for 100% cert that the club is going to be sold. But them protests and all, they work. And I believe that the club will be sold. But until it's 100%, just keep doing what all United fans do. And keep the pressure on the Glazers. Because it's quite apparent that the pressure is starting to work and maybe has completely worked, and they have to leave now.
No, 100%, because that's primarily what led Team Viewer wanting to leave. That's what led to the end of the Super League, and the Glazers claiming that they don't care how United fans feel. I can guarantee that any potential investor or partner with the Glazers certainly care how United fans feel. That's primarily where the club's value lies. Massive credit to 1958 and the other fans involved with protesting that have played a massive part in getting the Glazers to this point. So $7 billion is a lot of money, my friend. We will see.
It's a lot of money. I hope it happens. I hope either one of them, just next week we hear good news and we can all just get back to, instead of talking about the owners of Manchester United and talk about the great football that we can play and the things that we win and the fact that we'll be run for a football club and run for the right reasons.
Well, there's one or two outcomes. Jim Ratcliffe takes control, or the Qataris do. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the only two things that's going to happen. What won't happen is this will be business as usual and the Glazers will end this process, because that's impossible. So we are going to get, obviously, official confirmation of one of those outcomes very, very soon. And, United will be changed. We will forever not look anything like they've looked over the last 17 years, so 18 years. So, and I think that is going to happen very soon. I know that there's staff inside United that are desperate for this to happen. There's tremendous uncertainty for them and their jobs, especially people in key positions that are being headhunted by other clubs, because they don't know. Those are always the first people affected by any type of business that gets sold. It's people in key positions that get replaced, and those are their most important employees. Everything is in limbo until this gets announced, until it gets confirmed. You know, most importantly, recruitment, but not just recruitment in terms of players, in terms of staff on the inside, which play a very, very important role in how United run. You know, so I know that they're anxious to see this come to an end. The Glazers owe them that respect. So we are in the end part of this process, and I think, from what I'm being told, we'll hear something the next week, probably no more than 2 weeks. So looks like we're almost there. So
I think coming up to this point, things will accelerate quicker than what they've been doing. So we'll see by the end of the night, in a way, if any more information comes out. But I don't expect to hear anything official for the next couple of days, not until at least after Monday.
Yeah, I think that mid to end next week, probably start to get a clearer picture of where this is going to go, 100%. And I have my own suspicions of where this is going to go, based on what I'm being told. But we'll see what happens. Thanks to all of you for downloading the podcast, for watching it. Thanks for all of your comments. And as I get more information that I can share, I'll certainly do so. You heard some of the messages, so it's quite encouraging. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully soon.
Okay. All right. Cheers, folks. Paul, thanks very much for coming on, and have a wonderful weekend, folks.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Cheers.